Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Today's Gospel and Old Testament readings remind me that every sermon is the last one you'll ever hear. At least that's how I'm supposed to approach every sermon. What if this is the last sermon you'll ever hear? What if it's the last one I'll ever have the privilege of preaching? Very well could be for any of us. If it is, and I didn't preach the gospel to you so that you heard of the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, of Christ and Him crucified for the forgiveness of your sins, in whom there is life after death, the resurrection of the body, and the restoration of the broken. If I didn't preach the Lord's love to you as made known upon the cross, and you faced death, removed from the recent reminder of who your God is and what He has done to death for you, well, I have no business standing in this pulpit. I'm called to preach Christ and Him crucified in the last sermon you'll ever hear and I'll ever preach, which means every sermon. It's my duty to have the word of the Lord in my mouth that I may speak truth to you in the midst of death, the truth of resurrection in the midst of death. I must speak to you the truth of our Heavenly Father's grace shown through His Son, Jesus of Nazareth, that you may know that I am a man of God, not because I'm sinless, but because, like you, I've been saved by the one who raises all of us from the grave, and that you will know my words are trustworthy as they point always and only to Christ on the cross for you. I am duty-bound by my office to preach the gospel week in and week out because the next funeral procession could be yours. Death hunts us all. Not just the aged and the ailing, but as is written in 1 Kings 17 and Luke 7, our texts for today, it even strikes the young. It's for this reason. Because my job is to preach the gospel to you all, no matter your age and your gender. It's for this reason that I find preaching on LWML Sunday a difficult task. There's a pressure that I feel on a day like today. A pressure to talk about the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. Yet the church I see that congregates here is made up of more than LWML women. We're an assembly of men, women, young, old, every one of us a sinner. Every one of us in need of hearing the gospel. But there is this pressure by virtue of a man-made designation of a day to focus on a segregated part of the church, and worse, to focus on their works instead of Christ's work for and through them. And I know I speak for at least our LWML ladies that they would never have me speak of their works over and against His works. And yet there is this pressure that I put upon myself because of these sorts of designated days. How do I best preach on a day like this? And what kind of pastor would I be if, having heard today's sermon, one of you, as you walked out of this room, said to another, "Well, he delivered a fine speech about the LWML. But where was Christ crucified for me?" Let it not be so, ever, no matter what the day. No, today's gospel is the perfect reading for LWML Sunday, because here, In our gospel reading, we see a woman serving in the world and seeing about as much fruit from her labor as one can expect apart from Christ. She has already buried her husband, apparently, and is now in the process, the very immediate process, of burying her only son. This is our works, isn't it? Work, 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 do, 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 and at the end, it's all for nothing. Everything fades away. The grass withers and dies. Things rot, are moth-eaten, and rust. But bring Christ into the picture, and okay, now we're talking, right? Now our works bear fruit. Now the LWML is about something, as is the church, triumphant and militant. Now those to whom we speak the truth of the cross, those who believe the truth spoken by Christ, spoken by his prophets, spoken by his apostles, now even those who die will be resurrected to live again. And now the good news of Christ Jesus and what he says and who he is will spread throughout all the country, indeed, all the world. Now, even a funeral procession, a line of works that seem to have little to do with life and everything to do with death, can be used to raise the dead to life in Christ. Bring Jesus in, and we can begin to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of Christ's works, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, as we heard in our Ephesians reading in the epistle. Now, with Christ in the picture, the works of the LWML and the works of every single Christian on the planet may be filled with the fullness of God. Oh yes, this is the perfect text for an LWML Sunday. And more than that, it's the perfect pericope for a sermon that, should it be your last, will proclaim to you the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God, that will strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, and you may live forever with him. As Jesus drew near to the gate of the town, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a considerable crowd from the town was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. And he said to her, "Do not weep." Then he came up and he touched the bier. Think coffin, that's the easiest way. He touched the coffin. And the bearers stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." And the dead man sat up and began to speak. And Jesus gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, "A great prophet has arisen among us, and God has visited his people." And this report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. Luke 7:12-17. Jesus raised this young man from the dead and gave him back to his mother, back to life. It happened, and the historic report swept through the country. You see, Jesus acts in our life. And what do we do but tell other people about it? about his work, what he does. And that's the work of the LWML. That's the work of every single Christian. It's not ever point the fingers back and look at me, look at me. It's to point the finger at him and say, look at him. Don't see me. I am nothing but a wretched worm for whom he died. No matter how old you are, or if you belong to a particular group in the church, you can point to Christ and his funeral-stopping, body-raising gift of life. Jesus has come to you while you're on death's road. He's come to you and he raised you from your grave. He stopped your funeral procession and said to you, in your baptism, arise. And you have risen. You have risen, and because of him, you who were once dead in trespasses and sins, unable to speak a single life-giving word, unable to do any kind of good work because you were just laying there dead, only able to be surrounded by weeping and wailing at the death that fills your life, the death that you know so well that takes your loved ones from you. You who were once dead yourself because of Christ have now sat up, and now you speak. Now you speak truth. And everyone who hears you can say about you what the widow said about Elijah. Now I know this is a man of God. This is a woman of God. Christ's work has resulted in a response unlike any other. The spreading of the gospel that has taken over the world. And the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. And the report about him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding country. Why on earth does the LWML have a Sunday? We don't have a Lutheran Layman's League Sunday, or a Lutheran Brotherhood Sunday, or a Walther League Sunday. Well, because that doesn't exist anymore. Why does the LWML have a Sunday? Well, I don't know the official reasoning that happened in the convention that officially stated it for the Synod, and there was one, I'm sure. But I'd like to think, and I think I'm pretty spot on to think, it's because the LWML is a group that was founded by people who had been raised from the dead in baptism, and when Christ touched them in word and sacrament, they sat up and began to do some stuff. And speak some stuff. They began to proclaim not themselves, but Christ crucified for the love of the world. And not only with their words, but with their deeds. And now they do some amazing things. Or I should say, he does some amazing things through them. Now, this day is not about a group of women. It's not about any kind of sorority or something like that, but about Christ crucified and the work he did and does and continues to do for all of us through word and sacrament. His crucifixion that enables us to do life-giving work for our neighbor who doesn't know him. To speak the good news of Jesus to those people in our lives who either don't know Jesus or maybe do know of him but reject him. Christ raised the young man from the dead, and he raised each of you too. Each of you who have been baptized and who believe the word of God, who believe that Christ Jesus crucified and resurrected is your God and Savior. You will know the resurrection of your body just as concretely as that young man in Nain knew the resurrection of his. Yet yours will be greater, for it will be unending. You will know the eternal resurrection of your body because of Christ's work on the cross. Oh, dear saints, I thank God that Jesus interrupted your funeral processions. You didn't even know you were in the middle of it. And he stopped your funeral procession and spoke the word of truth that caused you to rise in faith in him. God's Son lives. Now you know he is the man of God. His mouth is full of truth, and he has spoken that truth to you through his servants, whom he has called to serve you by preaching, baptizing, and celebrating communion, administering the sacrament to you, so that your bodies and your souls would be strengthened and prepared for the resurrection that is already yours. Now to him, as we heard, who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we can ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses knowledge, guard and keep your hearts in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.